Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Hammerlock Hangover. I am Steve, and I'm joined this week by Jeff Lipman. Jeff, I want to start this show by asking you a real serious question, an intimate question. You know, you're experienced in life. You are, you've had several careers, right?
Yeah, a couple of wives, too.
A couple of wives. Would you ever think about leaving your job before having the next job?
No, I would not.
What if you knew somebody that was like, I'm going to quit my job today, knowing that I don't have a job tomorrow, but I'm going to do it because this will motivate me to get a new, better job?
I mean, it very much depends on the circumstances. If you are Mandy Rose and you know you can do an OnlyFans or a Fantime thing, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would do it that. But if you are a regular person, no. This whole, I got to hit rock bottom so that I can motivate myself and pick myself up from there. I mean, unless you have, a year and a half worth of savings, no, I would not.
Good. So now I'm going to pivot to why I brought this up, right?
Yes, I'm wondering.
This is going to lead me. Do you think that Samoa Joe is a type of person that can succeed with an OnlyFans after, you know, not being a champion?
I'm going to take a dumb and dumber route to this. I'm not going to say there's not a chance. There's a niche for everyone. Mm-hmm. But no, he is not what I would think would be the ideal candidate for an OnlyFans account, you know, for sexualized or aesthetic reasons. Now, maybe cameos and things like that. Oh, sure. Okay. You know, I mean, Samoa Joe could, but anyway, that's not what you asked. So I would say, no, he is not the prototypical candidate for OnlyFans.
Yep. Now, the reason I bring it up is obviously this past week on AEW Dynamite, we had Samoa Joe in a heavyweight versus heavyweight match against Keith Lee. Mm-hmm. And Keith Lee loses. And Samoa Joe, right after.
Just remember when Karrion Kross buried him?
That's right.
Basically the same finish.
Same. So then after the match, what happens? Samoa Joe grabs the mic and he's winded. This is why I guess Vince didn't want him anymore, because he's like,
listen, this guy sounds... a tough fight. He's allowed to be winded. Don't criticize the man. I'm winded just listening to you.
And he says to the crowd, I'm relinquishing the title because I want to stay hungry, mm-hmm. with the insinuation that he's going after MJF's title and he's going to win the title. Jeff, this is the equivalent of you leaving your job before you have another job. He looks like a gigantic idiot if he doesn't beat MJF. Doesn't he not?
This is a dumb move, and this is sort of typical with AEW booking. The wrong person asks for the wrong stipulation or does the wrong thing. And this is typical for Tony Khan booking. This is a ratings plug. This is just so that he thinks the fans are dumb enough to now put more importance on this title match on Dynamite. So more people will watch it because they think that Samoa Joe is really going to try and he has a chance of beating MJF for the AEW title, which would mean that the entire story of Jay White and the Bullet Club Gold and stealing his Burberry belt for the last 7 weeks has been for naught. The whole thing with the devil and who attacked Jay White and who that group is and Brochacho, Adam Cole and Roddy and the King, all of that is for naught. All of the rebuilding of Wardlow and all of the many people who have, you know, called out MJF during this time, all of that is for nothing because we're supposed to believe that Samoa Joe will win, which he will not. However, the one thing I say is possible, and to credit, AEW doesn't usually do this in big matches, but there's enough of a hurricane around MJF and enough circling sharks that there could be some fuckery in the finish, and it could lead to a fatal three-way of Full Gear with Jay White, Samoa Joe, and MJF, with Samoa Joe, of course, eating the loss. That's an easy way out, and like I said, to AEW's credit, they don't usually do something like that with big matches, so I don't see it. So yes, it doesn't make any sense in storyline. I have seen people try to say how it makes sense. I mean, it's dumb. Samoa Joe was held two titles in this very company. He had the TNT title and the TV championship earlier this year. MJF currently holds two titles and will be defending both titles for, what, the second time in three pay-per-views? Alone! Mm-hmm. Against the tag team. So none of it makes sense. And Samoa Joe knows he makes sense, but if anyone can make it sound like it's making sense, it's Samoa Joe. So kudos to him for being a company guy, but no, it's dumb.
It's without a doubt dumb. And what makes it even dumber is you had a golden opportunity to actually elevate Keith Lee. Now, I'm holding aside the fact that this guy is not in the same shape that he was when he was in prime NXT.
Right.
Obviously, throughout the past several months, years, 18 months, we've heard about him and his, long bout with COVID and the heart ailments that came afterwards. And he's still, very much possibly going through that. We don't know.
Right.
We're not his doctor. But he's lost a step in the ring.
Yeah. So this was his best match I've seen in a while, but it was mm-hmm. it was a slow big man match, and that's good. It was fine, but it was the long. I was actually sort of surprised the match went as long as it did. But anyway, I don't think they should have elevated Keith Lee, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't like the idea of someone losing a lesser title and then going for the world title, or at least right away, like a week later.
Okay. No, I agree with you. You can't feed Samoa Joe clean to Keith Lee.
Right.
However, as you said, there's all this fuckery going around MJF.
Right.
And the question of who's his friend, can Samoa Joe be his friend and partner up with him? It's a perfect time to have one of these rival factions, whether it be
Jay White. Don't offer to be MJF's friend. You're going to regret it, or you've regretted. So someone could have beaten him down, and that, yes, they could have done that.
They could have done that and easily parlayed that into a victory for Keith Lee. And now you've got Samoa Joe more pissed off, feeding into the storyline of MJF and Samoa Joe, and X Factor. Whoever, if you want to say it's Bullet Club Gold or these masked fellas, whoever they are,
right.
You could have added into that. But no, this is, again, it's a golden opportunity to make it make sense. And
Wardlow would have made the most sense, because Samoa Joe and him have some history. And he could be like, you want to be his friend? Well, I'm telling you, you shouldn't. You were my friend once also.
Right. You're asshole by association. And you're dead to me too. Right. They could have done that. Instead of what they did, they made him look like Keith Lee looks like a clown. Now you can't take him seriously. And on top of that, if Samoa Joe doesn't win the world title, he looks like a clown. So you buried both guys.
Right. The thing about Samoa Joe is he's Teflon. Keith Lee, I don't know. With the AEW fan base, he's Teflon, but with the rest of the world, yeah, he looks pretty stupid. But I'm going to go with that he really can't work. And they are generally protecting him to make it look like he can work, and he's keeping the job so good for him. So I'm gonna go with that. If I'm wrong, yeah, fuckery would have been great. It would have elevated Wardlow. You could have had a Wardlow Samoa Joe feud. Wardlow could have a title, sure, Ring of Honor title. So what? But it's better than nothing. And Keith Lee could have Keith Lee in this would scenario would have a title again, Ring of Honor title. So what? But it makes sense for Shane Taylor trying to go after him, because that's been forgotten. And Shane Taylor's primarily in Ring of Honor, so there you go.
Or even splinter off the story to be like, Keith Lee's now, he's so, dignified when he speaks. Maybe he now turns a leaf and says, I didn't want to win like that. Fuck you, Wardlow. Now I'm coming after you. So now there's a built-in program. It splintered off a third storyline. What the fuck are they thinking over there?
This was, of all the combination of ideas, this was about the worst combination of ideas that they came with. I concur with you entirely.
Yes. What else, Jeff? What else is there to talk about this week about professional wrestling?
Oh my God, there's so much. I mean, first, we haven't spoken since Crown Jewel. I'll just say, I mean, aside from Kairi Sane coming back, which I'm very happy about, I thought the show was okay. For a Saturday afternoon, it was fine. If it was Saturday night, I maybe wouldn't have felt that way, but I thought it was a CC minus show, whatever, but it was okay. It wasn't offensive, but it certainly wasn't, you know, what they were calling WrestleMania-like. It wasn't even WrestleMania-like, but it was fine. I didn't think any of the matches were spectacular. I didn't think any were terrible. But the Drew-Seth match was probably the best match.
The Drew-Seth match was great. They did great work. But I like the storytelling. The match within the match of Roman Reigns versus LA Knight. Like, I questioned how long does LA Knight have to survive in order for it not to be a squash? And I said, maybe about 7 minutes. The guy almost doubled it. They had a pretty solid match. Again, you knew LA Knight was going to lose, but what you didn't want him to look like is a complete embarrassment.
Right, and you didn't want him to lose clean. He had to lose like all of other Roman's harder challenges were with the help of the Bloodline, and that's what happened.
Or I thought maybe if they do have him lose clean, they'll have him lose in that Stone Cold Steve Austin like manner where he'll just pass out to the guillotine and he'll never quit. Mm. You know, a la, you know, Stone Cold passing out to the sharpshooter.
I don't like that in this scenario only, but I wouldn't mind it if it was also after the result of Bloodline interference. Then it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, Roman did a great job making this guy look legit. Like he let him kick out of, what is it, a spear, a Superman punch? Mm-hmm. Like, LA Knight looked legit. If you were paying attention, like, he breaks out of the guillotine a couple times. Not anybody does that. Roman doesn't allow anyone. He's just not, you know, not protecting his finishes.
Roman is not a selfish wrestler. I mean, I don't think he ever has been. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, I'm sure he's been happy to be at the top and be the boss's favorite for most of that time. Who wouldn't be? But I don't think he's like Hogan and like booked himself to win or anything. It's just this Bloodline thing is working fabulously. And now they're so close to all these records that why fudge with it? You might as well beat, you know, the lower Bruno record and you know, maybe the Hulk Hogan one before you're done with it. But at least beat the Bruno 1200 or so days one.
Do you know if the Hogan one goes to WrestleMania or before it?
No, it's after. It would be like SummerSlam. It might even be after SummerSlam. It's like the Hogan one's like 1,440 days. The Bruno one's like 1,260 days. So the Bruno one is almost guaranteed. The Hogan one, I mean, I haven't done the math, but, you know, it's Roman's what, at about 1,180 days now, somewhere around there. So, I mean, to get to another, he basically needs another 300 days. That's almost a year.
If Vince was still around, you know, they could just add a couple hundred days in between. No one would really notice. Well,
Vince was a couple little later. But in this card, I only got one match wrong. And I got the booking almost right. The match I got wrong was Logan Paul winning the U.S. title. I did get the booking wrong that Santos Escobar was going to get involved and do something foolish. Yeah. What I thought was going to happen was that Ricochet was going to do the double save and, you know, that would be the Logan Paul Ricochet match at Survivor Series so they could both do the Dragon Ball Z thing. I'm not sure when the Fatal 4-Way was where Ricochet got his bell rung. Was that after Crown Jewel or the week before?
No, I think it was the Monday after.
Okay, I think you're right. So I was just wrong about that. Now, obviously, with him being in the concussion protocol, you know, and him sort of, you know, causing the, you know, that inadvertently causing the botch of an end of a match, that would probably be out of play anyway. Anyway, I got that wrong, but Logan Paul has been all over the place, posting pictures, sleeping with the belt, you know, taking showers with the belt. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no doubt he's great at this thing. I just don't know how long he could possibly keep the belt on him, but I you know, my prediction was, you know, Ricochet would take it from him at Survivor Series, and you know, that's out the window now. So who even knows the next time Logan Paul's going to wrestle or defend? I know he said, "I'm a WWE superstar," but I mean, that doesn't mean he's a full-time WWE superstar.
Yeah. I mean, you know, depending on how quickly Ricochet can come back, I mean, you still got a couple weeks to Survivor Series, so there's a possibility he can still make it out of the concussion protocol. But
I know, but I don't know how you lose that. You know, he came off a loss, then he came off, you know, not factoring into the decision either way on the fatal four-way. So I don't know how you put him into a U.S. title match unless you just go full bore on the blood feud thing. And if he actually does have a, if it's like he didn't have a concussion at all, you could do that. But if he did have a concussion and he's just recovered, I don't know how you go into the brutality thing unless you do like one of those things you did with Trick Williams where he's brutally attacked from behind. Mm-hmm. You don't see it, but in this case, since it's Logan Paul, we know it's Logan Paul and his goons.
Do you think there's anybody that can fill Ricochet's spot, like an LA Knight, maybe?
Well, I don't think that's what they want LA Knight for, but yes. There's always multiple people who can fill somebody's spot.
I mean, to like take the title and it be, you know, a believable exchange. Like, they're not going to throw up. I guess we can get into this story later, but let's say, I don't know, Grand Metalik, for instance.
Grand Metalik pulling a, "That don't work for me, brother."
I love that story.
I mean, who is Grand Metalik that he has the comfort and the stroke to kibosh the finish of a match? Listen, I famously could not care less about Commander. I don't care.
Neither can he.
I mean, but who's Grand Metalik to think that? I mean, if he's under a contract, I hope he's released. If he's not under a contract, he's just on a per appearance deal. I hope those appearances have been canceled, or there will be no future appearances. Because here's the thing, and I don't care if the two of them have a rivalry in AAA or CMLL, where Grand Metalik's supposed to be the one that's on the top right. I don't care about it because nobody knows and nobody cares. And
but he cares.
I don't care what he cares. He's nobody. He is nobody. He's primarily relegated to Ring of Honor. He was doing stuff with MLW. I mean, I know all these guys.
But if he doesn't protect himself, who's going to protect him?
You know what?
He's barely a low card guy. Barely.
Exactly. So him losing doesn't matter. He's getting booked is him protecting himself, keeping his job, not having a reputation as a selfless jerk off. So he's not protecting himself by your definition of trying to protect
himself. I disagree with you because there's only so many spots that these luchadors get. And so if he does take an L on a Dynamite to a Commander, like, who do you think is going to get booked over Grand Metalik? Commander! He's going to get booked. So this is exactly why he's going to say, fuck, I'm not putting this guy over. He's going to take my goddamn check.
No, because Commander is going to be working mostly for AEW and Ring of Honor, and Grand Metalik's, because he needs to worry about hustling on all the indies because he is a lower card guy. I mean, I don't know. This is I disagree, but all I say is that Grand Metalik, he if this wasn't so unimportant, he would win the dummy of the week. Except I would say in this case, Tony Khan for booking the Samoa Joe thing is the dummy of the week. But neither of them is actually the dummy of the week, at least not for this. I mean, Tony Khan might be the dummy of the week for something we heard. And Billy Corgan seems to be, I haven't decided, I mean, this isn't even something that we do, but Billy Corgan keeps, the more he flaps his gums and the more we hear things, I'm starting to think like he might be the dummy of the week. Anyway. I don't know. Where else do you want to take us to? Because there is so much stuff, like little things that are really...
Yeah, it's like it's a week of just a lot of wrestling potpourri.
Right.
You pick.
Okay. Well, let's start with this. Because we were talking about WWE. Survivor Series is coming up, you know, in a week and a half. In two weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
So... Obviously, they're going to build the card, but as of now, there isn't much of a card. We
got the main event, which is War Games.
Right. We have Judgment Day, which is four people right now. The rumor is that Drew will be the fifth. We have Jey Uso, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins and Sami Zayn on the other side. I don't know who the fifth person would be. You'd think it would have been Kevin Owens, but that doesn't seem that way. But anyway.
I don't think they're going to add a fifth. I think they're going to leave it like that, 4-on-4.
I mean, I suppose it's a possibility. And then the other match we have, by winning the Women's Battle Royal, Zoe Starks is somehow against Rhea, which, I don't know. That was either a bad decision, which could be a candidate for Dummy of the Week that would come in like fifth. I have a feeling it's not going to stick. Something's going to happen between now and then to make it a more interesting matchup. But anyway, I know they like Zoe Stark, and that's fine. But forget about that. Are there any other matches that, I mean, I would have guessed Xia Li versus Becky, and that's not still out of the question, but Xia Li seems to be focused on NXT, and sort of interestingly in the background, Dante Chen and Boa have been wearing the Tiang Chang.
I saw your Facebook comments and your Twitter comments. Like, I love that this has reinvigorated your, what was that faction back then?
The Tian Chang, wasn't it called that?
Tian Chang, thank you. I thought Tian Chang was
for a long time.
I know, you're very big on the martial arts faction.
Love it. It's that and House of Black.
House of Black. I don't think that this
Doom, is... Wyatt Family, Legion of Doom, the Paul Jones Army. You give me anything like that, Kevin Sullivan, you give me anything like that, I am down. Raven's Flock before it got, like, you know, basically became the LWO. Anyway, yes, I am seeing Tian Chang 2 coming back, which is really best for Wendy Chu. It's obviously best for Boa and Dante Chen, and it's probably best for Xia Li until Endeavor gets WWE a contract in China, where obviously Xia Li becomes the first women's Eurasian champion or Asian champion or Pan Asian champion, whatever they name it. People's Republic champion, whatever it is, she'll be the first women's champion. But are there any other matches?
Well, like, I went on Wikipedia to take a look, and so they have, you know, Wikipedia, anybody can edit this. You probably just edited this match into the card.
Nice.
It's Gunther versus The Miz, but that's happening on Monday Night Raw, isn't it?
I thought so.
I don't know. Apparently here it is
isn't The Miz supposed to face Ivar in what was supposed to be the match, you know, that, you know, I'm gonna say the Ricochet botched, even though he was injured, so I'm giving it a pass. I just don't know a better word to use right now. But isn't it supposed to be, I mean, don't you think it'll end up being a fatal three-way, if at all? I mean, the Intercontinental Championship hasn't been on PLEs very much.
No, it hasn't, and the trouble is, and I don't know if this was part of your recap, but Gunther's got visa problems. The guy can't leave the United States.
Right. So it's actually not a problem. It is because he has to stay here for a certain amount of time to get his citizenship.
There you go. So thank you for correcting me there.
Or his permanent residence. It's one of those things. But whatever status he's in,
from his fake marriage. Yep, I get it. No, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I get it. He may not even
be because of marriage. It might be because of WWE sponsoring him. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it's not a problem, but it is because of immigration and him.
It's a problem for me, Jeff. I don't like this guy. I've been telling you that Gunther's not ready for prime time. And here he is. He can't get his own citizenship and visa problems straightened out to legitimately become champion for a long time.
This is a problem for you if you don't want to see him on PLEs. Now you don't have to see him on any show that's outside the United States. This is a solution for you.
I know, this is great, but why is everybody still touting? Why is he should be the world champion. He should be the one to beat Roman.
All right, move along with the crown jewel, Clark.
He can't go to Saudi Arabia. He can't leave his house, this guy, Gunther.
He can leave his house.
He can go down to McDonald's, but he can't go after McDonald's. He can't go anywhere. He's got to go to McDonald's and then straight back. That's what house.
Big place.
There's lots of
places he can go.
He's in house arrest, right? That's what it's called.
Yes, he's in house arrest. Exactly right. Now move on to the crown jewel, the rest of the crown jewel supposed card.
Listen, the other thing that I liked about crown jewel is this Kairi Sane. But everybody online complaining about nobody recognized. She came out to a horrible reaction. You want to know why, Jeff?
because the Saudis clearly don't want to see women in combat, and they weren't interested in any of the women's matches?
No, that has nothing to do with it. When the last time you saw Kairi Sane, what prop did she have with her?
She looked like one of the Wiggles. She looked like Captain Feathersword. She was a
pirate. She had a pirate wheel. That was before, but then right before she left, she had a flute.
And like a telescope and a feathered like bonnet or something. I don't know.
That was before. That was the first gimmick. And then Vince gave her a flute to play, and she would play the flute out. You remember this?
No. What kind of pirate plays a flute?
This was after the pirate. She became a tag team champion with Asuka, and she would play the flute.
What, weren't they still the Kabuki Warriors, or what did they become, the Minstrels? And I missed that whole thing.
I think it was somewhere around there that she came out with a flute.
The Kabuki Orchestra?
Yes. Okay. We need to go to YouTube right now.
I think this might be a Mandela effect thing for you. Anyway.
So what I'm saying is, Jeff, nobody recognized her.
The flute. The absence of the flute.
Or the pirate wheel.
Right. Listen, I don't care whether they recognized her or not, or why they didn't recognize her. I still think it was a great return, and I think Io Sky and Kairi Sane is interesting, and they were in a faction with Asuka and also some other women, and then that could be interesting. I'm very interested in reuniting the Lotus Triad or the Lotus Quad or whatever they make of it, and I'm very interested in, this is another dynamic with what is a fairly stale damage control. So cool.
What do you think about these rumors that there's a third and fourth member of this triad, or what is it, quadad?
Well, four members would be, but I'm all for whatever it is. Whatever it is, I'm for it in theory, at least right now. I reserve the right to shit on it if it sucks, but I'm interested in seeing where it goes.
They said that the third member could be this up and coming Stardom champion, Julia. Do you know Julia?
I do know Julia, and this has been, this whole week has been a week of the wrestling media showing how little they know about anything in wrestling and how they guess. I mean, I know that you and I will never get credit. And I know that the hallmark of this show is me talking too much and us arguing.
Yes.
But if actually people wrote down like things that we said would happen or wouldn't happen, we have a much higher rate of success on major things and minor things than, like, say, a Dave Meltzer does. And he's constantly proven wrong, and he just gets more stubborn about it. So why am I mentioning this when you ask me about Julia and if I've heard of her? The reason is because all week long there's been talk that Julia was in talks and she was going to visit the Performance Center. And that was reported by the wrestling media. Then it was reported it's impossible because she's under contract with Stardom until March of 24. Then it was reported that if she had this opportunity, Bushirad, which owns Stardom, probably would have given it their approval. The bottom line is nobody knows anything. And of course, embedded in this whole conversation were AEW fans going, no, she should come to AEW because we have 30 women wrestlers on the roster, and we only see 7 a week and 2 matches, but she should totally come here. And then you would see WWE fans basically dunking on AEW fans, all over speculation, which is based on nothing. Now, do I know Julia? Yes, I know who she is. I hear she's good. I haven't seen too much of her work. I've seen, like, maybe bits and pieces. She doesn't look like the typical Joshi wrestler. I will say that. Do I think she's like Asuka? No. Do I think she's, like, maybe like Shida? Yeah. She's beautiful. She is a very attractive woman. She's apparently half Japanese, half Italian. And so, she looks different. She doesn't look like everyone else. And that's good in wrestling.
She looks exotic.
Yeah. And that's good in wrestling. So, good wrestler. She's not tiny. She's not like, Riho. And apparently she gets along with these other women, and if they've worked together before, terrific. So I'm all for it. The more important thing is that, remember all the stories that we heard for so long that WWE was on a hiring freeze and they weren't hiring anyone at all? I mean, but since then we've seen lots of people.
Yes.
Brian Pillman, Jade Cargill, Nia Jax, Kairi Sane.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's all just nonsense. So the Julia thing, that's why I want, because there's some other women wrestling botched media reports that we'll get to later. But yeah, I'd be interested in seeing Julia here. I mean, I do think that it would benefit her to go to NXT to learn the US style and WWE TV cues and things like that.
Sure. Is there anybody else besides Julia that could fit as the third member of that faction? Because then I want to talk to you about who might be revealed as the fourth and last member of this faction. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, all right. So this answers your question and goes to my agenda of the wrestling media is stupid. Because there were all these reports that WWE was interested in bringing back Sarai, who they released. Before they did their like 30 person release, they released her. You know, people are like, no, they just her contract wasn't renewed. I'm not even sure if I think you're wrong. I think she was released. She might have requested it and was granted early. Whatever, they shipped her back home. She wanted to go home, but if they non-renewed her, it's still their choice. I mean, I understand the distinction, but it's not the big distinction people try to make, and that's again mostly because of the AEW WWE schism. But people were saying Sarai. About 2 days after this broke, Sarai signed an extension with whatever Joshi promotion she was with, or a Joshi promotion. So it's not Sarai. Who do I think the Asuka? Asuka is the obvious person. There was also, I don't remember her name, maybe you do, but about 3 years ago when AEW had all those Joshi wrestlers come in, there were like eight of them here at the same time. There was only like one that I thought was good, and I don't remember her name. But whoever she is,
I think I remember this. Her name was Kimona Wanalea.
Yeah, that's her.
That's her. That was it.
That's the one. Kimona Wanalea. Yeah, yeah. Her gimmick is she's Hawaiian and wants to have sex with me.
That's right. Half Samoan, half Hawaiian.
Right, but importantly wants to have sex with me. Specifically.
That's right.
Right. And it's not Maki Ito. I know who that is. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who it is. I could care less. Like everybody, I love that everybody online just wants to make it a big deal. Like, oh my God, Julia's coming. Oh my God, it could be Sarai. It could be I don't give a fuck is who I think it is.
Okay.
I don't care if this faction has three people, four people, or fucking just zero people. It should just be her, Io Sky, Io, what's her name now? Shirai? Sky? Who knows? It doesn't matter. She's more interesting with Kairi Sane next to her as long as Kairi Sane comes out with a pirate wheel or B, a flute. That's it. If Kairi Sane shows up on SmackDown and has neither a pirate wheel or a flute, I'm fucking tuning out. It's boring. Nothing's happening. Asuka could be the third member, and it would make it more entertaining. The fourth member has got to be a shock. Everybody, I don't know why it has to be a four-person faction. There's a bunch of three-person factions on right now. But everybody's hoping and hooting and hollering because of this, faceless communique from somebody in the wrestling industry saying that they're... Triple H is looking to do a four-person female faction from Stardom, and the fourth person is going to be Mercedes Moné and her triumphant return back to WWE, leading a group of no-name Joshis. That is, again, if it's
you are the third person I've heard suggest that, which is sort of interesting. That's fine, but to my knowledge, and maybe this is just working. But to my knowledge, Mercedes Moné is still injured and is still not clear to wrestle. But in any event, whatever it is, I'm not particularly invested in who it is or if it is. I mean, they could do plenty of time. I mean, I'm not sure how close Dakota Kai is to recovery, but they could have this four-person group and then split them into two versus two for a while until you have to introduce another person to the story, let alone two more people. I'm glad that nobody knows and that it's a mystery. because there are no works in wrestling, and the only thing that seems to be a work is somebody or are they not coming back to wrestling? And even there, 9 out of 10 times, you generally know they are. It's just a question of when. So, you know, right now, everyone knows Randy Orton's coming back. It's just a question of when. Is it Survivor Series or is it, you know, the Royal Rumble or something else? Let me just do my third in women wrestling and the media getting things completely boo-booed.
Oh, okay.
So apparently there's a female wrestler, goes by the Greek goddess. Her name, I think, is Megan Bain. Never heard of her. She apparently was the OVW Women's Champion. The only reason I know that is because of the show The Wrestlers on Netflix about OVW, but she wasn't the champion during any of it, or at least not from the beginning. Layla Gray was the champion. By the way, where has she been? I mean, does she even work for AEW? No idea. And then, you know, they focused on Hollywood Haley or whatever her name was. Anyway, so this Megan Bain, the reports have been that she's been under contract for AEW with AEW for months, but has not been wrestling for them. And then the reports were that, well, they sent her to work in Japan for promotions. I think maybe they said Stardom. And then Stardom issued sort of a curt but cordial rebuttal saying, we do not have anyone sent to us by AEW at present. And then mm-hmm. Dave Meltzer, in his typical word salad, trying to defend AEW no matter what, said, well, they didn't like the language, but they would agree to the language that she's under contract AEW, but she's allowed to work other places. Blah, 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 blah. So is Megan Bain signed to AEW? No idea. Is she also working for other promotions in Japan? No idea. The point is the wrestling media knows jack and squat.
Absolutely.
And that's our trilogy of women's wrestling issues. They were all wrestling media knows squat. Women, the trilogy controversy, and there'll be other wrestling media knows squat about more important things coming up soon.
Why is Megan Bain a big deal anyway? Like, the last time she was seen on AEW Dynamite, I went to Wikipedia to look this up, her first appearance was when she lost to Big Swole in 2021.
Okay.
And then I guess she teamed up with Emi Sakura, another one that nobody hears about, against Maki Ito and Willow Nightingale, and this was back in June of 2023. Why is her name being ballyhooed about all of a sudden? Like, I'm sorry, did she like win a top 10 in women's wrestling award? Like, what is going on?
I have no idea. I
don't
know.
Does Batman need a face Bane, and this is why they decided?
I mean, the only thing that I can think of is because of her tie to OVW and the popularity of the show on Netflix.
That's right. So Tony Khan is planting his own stories to put over AEW by tying it into the popular wrestling indie wrestling show on Netflix.
I mean, otherwise it's just the usual. If somebody signed to AEW, they're the next big thing. They're this great addition, this great star. You know, again, we have probably a female roster of 30 people on there, maybe more, and we only see, you know, on a good week, 7 of them. And it tends to be the same 7, and that's only because Jamie Hayter is still hurt and Britt Baker is hurt. I mean, and they brought in a new one. They introduced Mariah May this week, you know, that was long expected. We reported it, blah, blah, blah. You know, okay. I don't know anything about Megan Bain, but I doubt that somebody who came out of Ohio Valley Wrestling is ready to be the superstar to you know, give them that punk bump of 150,000 or 200,000 viewers that they desperately need.
They're not. Can you run me back the Mariah May introduction? Because I wasn't tuning into that. Did she get a reaction? Was there an ovation?
Well, it was backstage. It was an interview segment with RJ City, who may be good at a lot of things, but his on-camera role is terrible. I've heard he's a nice guy. Okay, swell. Anyway, He basically did a little introduction. She introduced herself. She did about a minute long promo, said where she's been wrestling from. And basically she said that she's here because she's following Toni Storm. She went to Japan because Toni Storm went there, and she's in AEW because Toni Storm is there. She definitely did side profile a lot, which I don't think was, by accident, because Toni Storm's been doing that chin up, tits out thing where she's showing her profile. Yeah, profile is sort of similar. So it seems to me that Mariah May is going to be Toni Storm's understudy for a while. And then, of course, the understudy, in regular wrestling, in about 9 months, she become the rival. In AEW, probably means 9 weeks. So there they but as far as reaction, I didn't hear a giant ovation or anything, but it was backstage. And for all I know, it could have been pre-recorded. Don't know.
Yeah. Mariah May. Good for Mariah May.
Good for her. I remember we on Unpopular Review, we had our very own Caden Hanafi interview, and I booked that thing together and produced it. So, yeah. So if you want to see her from three and a half years ago, she's a very nice woman. Huh? Beautiful lady.
Very nice. That's right. The glamour. She was even going by the glamour back then. The glamour.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why you just made her sound like a Jewish grandmother from Brooklyn, but okay.
I'm the glam.
I'm the glamour. That is not at all.
Come over here.
Right.
I want to pinch your cheeks, Toni Storm. Come here.
Right. So Full Gear is in a week.
Is it now?
Yep. The card so far for Full Gear, as I can see it, so we have the Gun Club, the Guns, facing MJF alone for the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships. It looks like it's not Moxley versus Orange Cassidy for the International Championship, but if I understand correctly, it's some version of the BCC versus Orange Cassidy, and I assume whoever he can get, though I'm not sure why that wouldn't be best friends, but the inference or the implication is that it's not. My guess is that Moxley is not fully cleared to wrestle singles, but they've somehow decided that he can wrestle in multi-person matches, because that's AEW for you, which is why it's this group match. The other match, I believe, is booked, but I'm not even 100% on that, is Swerve versus Hangman Page. I will say that Hangman Page finally looked like a badass for like the first time I can remember in years this past week on Dynamite. And then we have...
Jeff. Do you know that I would love to watch? I'll pay $50. This is AEW content is garbage. But if you can put a debate together, and I don't care if this debate is 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45, fuck it. Run it for the whole 3 hours. I want to see Jon Moxley at one podium and CM Punk at another podium. And I need them to debate safety protocols in wrestling. That's what I want to pay for.
Okay. Well, with your $50, I can assure you I can't make that happen. So, so the next match I'm aware of is the Golden Jets, which is Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho facing the Young Bucks. So it's not.
How did they come up with this name, Jeff? This Golden Jets sounds like an old timey, like a 50s or 60s, like street gang. We're the Golden Jets.
Is that what's
going to stop us now?
Is that what it sounds like to you? It sounds like a niche porn movie.
Well, maybe in Japan.
Something that maybe Donald Trump was in. I don't know. In Russia? I'm not sure.
Golden Jets.
So the Young Bucks, who are the number one contenders, they are not facing the tag team champions of Ricky Starks and Big Bill. They're facing the Golden Jets of Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho. And so what's at stake? So in typical AEW, completely overbooking and confusing things.
Friendship.
And making
friendship
us sing, is at stake. Right. The story that Omega doesn't have their back and the Elite aren't really the Elite anymore, that's not enough. So what's at stake is if Omega and Jericho win, they get the number one contendership spot instead of the Bucks for the AEW tag team titles. But if the Bucks win, Omega and Jericho can't tag team together anymore. The Golden Jets are no more. They have to break up. So this is unimportant, and it also leaves me confused as to when is the Omega Jericho Kota Ibushi and Big Show match supposed to be against whoever they were in a fight with, because I can't even remember. Oh, the Don Callis family, because I'm not even sure who's in the Don Callis family. There was Takeshita, and then there was Will Ospreay, but there wasn't. There was Sammy Guevara, but he's still injured.
Danny Garcia,
no, he's still not in there. He's definitely not in it.
The other guy that's Will Danny Garcia light,
who's faction slot.
An AEW slot.
Kyle Fletcher, for the guy from Aussie Open, because the other guy from Aussie Open can't stay healthy. So do they just not have enough of, they don't have a fourth guy for the Callis family? Osprey's not open, that they just scratch that? Because I was pretty sure that was a full gear match, not something that was going to be Collision or Dynamite. I could be wrong. I've been doing a lot of fast forwarding of AEW over the last 3 or 4 weeks. I did watch Dynamite without much fast forwarding this past week.
There is another guy. The new guy on the team is Ric Flair. Ric Flair was just added to the team. He's going to be in the ring for this. He's part of the Don Callis team.
Why not? I mean, I think also isn't Sting, Darby, and Copeland against. Who are they against again?
You want me to run? So on, again, this is from Wikipedia. So this is the match. It's Sting, Darby Allin, and Adam Copeland with Ric Flair and Woo Energy Drink.
Right.
Don't forget that part.
Never.
That's key to the whole deal.
Got it. Key.
Versus Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, and Nick Wayne.
Ah, right.
Your favorite Wayne.
Team Christian.
There you go.
The Crusaders. Got it. Terrific.
That's right.
Okay, so that's another barn burner of a match. And I'm going to guess that at some point they will get us to House of Black versus LFI?
Quite possibly, Jeff, but everything is a mystery until it actually happens because, you know, we're talking about Tony Khan is the booker.
Right. I'm also going to guess that we're going to have either Sky Blue against Chris Statlander for the TBS title, or Sky Blue, Willow Nightingale, Julia Hart, and Chris Statlander in a four-way for the TBS championship. I'm going
to
also guess.
That's not on here yet, but in your defense, Jeff, there are only 7 matches listed on this card so far.
20 to go.
So yeah, only 20 more to go.
Right. I'm going to guess Tony Storm against Hikaru Shida is going to be on there as well.
Correct. That's here for the AEW Women's World Championship. Yep. Timeless Tony Storm. Yep. With Luther. Right. Don't forget, everybody. Hey, guys, Luther still has a job. He's the butler.
Right. And maybe Mariah May as well.
You said MJF versus the Guns.
You know, I said the MJF against Jay White.
Yep. Hangman Adam Page versus Swerve.
Got that one, yeah.
Yep. And MJF versus Jay White.
I mean, I assume there'll be an AEW title match, but I guess that's not safe. There'll probably be some Ring of Honor title matches on there.
Well, you know what? That's a great point, Jeff. When is this again? When is the card? Hold on a second. Oh, November 18th.
We are
recording November 10th, right? So there's 8 days left. So that's just enough time, Jeff. There's a Collision, Dynamite, maybe a Collision and a half.
Rampage.
There's always, you know, some other random bullshit that Tony Khan can throw out there.
A Dynamite, a Collision.
Yep. You know what that means. Another tournament for the TV title of Ring of Honor. Let's go, everybody.
They can get a tournament in between now and then. That's right.
That's the end game for all of Tony Khan's booking is let's get another tournament out of it.
It's true. And listen, I want to talk about another way that AEW fails. And it's not particularly important, but it is an example. I know it makes you happy because it's something that AEW that they fail at. So they introduced this team, The Righteous. They did this vignettes for 3 weeks on them, and then they won, predictably, a battle royal to become challengers to the Ring of Honor tag team titles, which they proceeded to lose to MJF defending it alone. So they're gone, squash, buried. We don't hear anything about them again. We don't see Lance Archer. He comes back for a squash match. Is he with Jake? I can't even remember. Maybe he was. We see Lance Archer with another match with Darby Allin. You know he's going to lose. Yes, he does lose. He loses to Darby Allin. Then Jake Roberts comes out afterwards with The Righteous, a very slow introduction of them. Why, how, don't know. Are they a faction? Don't know. Lance Archer attacks Darby Allin from behind. the Righteous do not come into the ring to gang up on Darby Allin, probably because his shoulder is too sore, though why they're protecting him now, I don't know. And so now we have a six-man match on Collision, which is with the Righteous and Lance Archer. So you have this new faction with Jake Roberts, and their first match is against Sting, Darby Allin, and Adam Copeland, which of course means they're going to lose. So you build this new faction with Jake Roberts, and you already know just from their first match that we need not invest anything in them whatsoever. And we probably won't see any of these guys again, unless you watch Ring of Honor, maybe not even then, for weeks, if not months. But this is how AEW loses. Now, if they pull a surprise and this faction wins in that match, whoa, I'll be shocked. Great. There'll be a lot of people crying over it, but good move. But it's not going to happen. This is bad book.
Always. Always. If anything we can rely on Tony for is just complete bad booking.
Right.
And we had, don't forget, the Outrunners, that young and upcoming team.
At least they're funny. At least they know their role, that they think they're a wrestling team from the 80s. And at least they know their role. And I've seen them on NWA. They're fine. They lose. That's fine. They're supposed to lose. Like the Bollywood Boys, they're supposed to lose. Why these teams are getting spots on AEW television when they have this giant roster of people not being used, I don't know. Though there is one less tag team now because the Butcher and the Blade have been non-renewed, as well as the Bunny. Everyone noticed the Bunny right away, pervs, because they saw she was on OnlyFans and then said, maybe I should cross-reference this. And then, only then, did someone say, hey, what about the tag team she's with? I was wondering why Kip Sabian came out with the Workhorsemen the week prior. Well, now we know. But so three more. Anyway, but I know what, you know, the people will say, because Tony likes to give lots of people work and he's making everyone in wrestling more money. I mean, that's part of it. But the real reason is because he doesn't want any AEW tag teams to take L's unless they have to. And then he'll use Ring of Honor teams for that. But if he can get away with not doing that, he'll hire a local tag team that has some notoriety and look like he's a good guy, Tony, but it's just so that his teams don't have to take losses.
Right. The booking is so goddamn awful.
He just doesn't want to make hard choices, that's all.
He doesn't, and it's very obvious. He can't even make a hard choice with Metalik and Commander.
Seriously.
Jeff, since we're talking about ROH, I wanted to bring up this rumor about, I think popped up yesterday, about the CW, right? So we know that the CW was in talks or negotiations with NWA, and earlier this week we heard that CW landed NXT, so starting October 2024. NXT is moving to the CW. Good for WWE. Good for NXT. Let's start with
things we do know, and this fits into the wrestling media knows jack and shit, because nobody was talking about either of these things. So go on.
Right. And so a couple weeks ago, I guess the first news of CW is Billy Corgan, NWA on CW, right?
Right.
That they were going to get a hour long wrestling show and also a behind the scenes Roads to the Top esque.
It's even worse than that. I learned more from this, and this credit to Anthony Missionary Thomas, because I had no idea, so I'm relying on him. But I assume you got it. Apparently, this was a reality show centered around Billy Corgan, probably centered around his booking and dealing behind the scenes, the NWA. But Billy Corgan paid for it, produced it, filmed it, directed it. It's all done. He already paid for it with his own money. It's already done. And if the stories are true, he had a contract with the CW. They did the cocaine spot on Samhain, which, by the way, I gave them the benefit of the doubt that it was actually James Mitchell actually partying up there and they shouldn't have put the camera on him. No, that was a called spot. That was scripted. So Billy okayed it. And so then the news was CW, the deal with CW is in jeopardy. Then it was NWA will only be on the CW app. Then Billy Corgan came out and said, no, hand to God, I'm telling you, we are in a top 20 network. He still isn't naming names. So we know it's not USA. We know it's not Fox. Apparently, it's not the CW. Though I guess we don't know that. But You know, how many other network? It's probably not Warner Brothers Discovery, though. That would be hysterical if they were replacing AEW with CW, which there's another CW story. Apparently, they talked to Tony Khan about airing Ring of Honor TV on CW.
And this is where I wanted to get to.
Okay, go ahead, and then we'll go back to the other stuff.
Okay, so this is what I wanted to get to, was this rumor about the CW back in June of 2022, so we're talking about a whole year ago, that a high-profile CW executive approached Tony Khan for ROH content to bring it to CW. And at that point in time, Tony Khan, like the bozo that he is, said, no, I'll pass because I want to. And again, this is allegedly in the report. He wanted to prioritize the re-signing and the contract extension for AEW on Turner Television, Warner Brothers at the time.
Right.
What an idiot. Yeah. Like, you have an offer. Now, what does... This is how I know this is hokey, right? I think to your point, and pretty much the caption of this entire show is, the wrestling media doesn't know jack shit.
Or who's the dummy of the week.
Right. Or who's the dummy of the week. I can't figure out which one it is. So it's either Tony Khan, if we believe the reports and take them at their word.
Maybe the choice is the wrestling media is the dummy of the week. Because, I mean, all of the stories seem to come back to that crux.
Maybe. I don't know. There's definitely a crossroads of just kind of going back and forth, like Benny Hill, like that Benny Hill skit.
Mm-hmm.
If Tony Khan was offered money, any amount of money, $5 a week, an hour, a minute, for ROH content to be on the CW, this man is a complete buffoon if he didn't take it.
Absolutely.
No one's offering him money for ROH.
Not now.
What does the ROH contract have to do with AEW?
I have no idea. And you're right about everything, and even more so, because I am a lawyer, and as soon as I say these words, people will know that they've heard about this in their own life. But there are often times in your contract that you can have an option that you can opt out if there's interest from WBD. I'm sure CW wouldn't be thrilled with that, but... If, you know, maybe they also are tentative about it, and maybe, you know, they have an option before to double the amount of money if it's performing well, which is superior to his option. So you could have competing options. But there are times where you have no trade clauses, and in the no trade clauses, there's an exception. Like, if the New York Yankees or the Los Angeles Dodgers want me, that's an exception to the no trade clause. So these things do happen in the real world. You might have, like, this one happened with Tom Cruise because he's his own producer, but let's just say Tom Cruise. There may be, the people who do Mission Impossible, they say, you can't do any other action adventure movies. And Tom Cruise says, okay, unless I'm cast as one of the lead superheroes in a DC or Marvel movie. And they say, okay. They could have easily made, or they could have tried to make these options. Whether it's easy or not, I don't know. But I suspect two companies struggling for identities, one that has no home, the other one who's trying, who just lost their ability to, all their DC shows need an idea. So yeah. Dumb move by Tony Khan, agreed, and dumb move by Billy Corgan, who's still yapping his gums. I'm not sure who the channel is, but what we do know is NXT has a 5-year deal with the CW starting next year, October 2024, and there's been sort of differentials on the amount of money, because I guess apparently NXT was making at some point $15 million a year. But that was probably the beginning point, not the end point. So it's been sort of all over what they're so getting, a 70% increase of what they were getting before, which, by the way, Dave Meltzer said was at least $50 million for these last several years. So, again, he knows nothing. Anyway, it's probably somewhere, the latest estimates I saw is it will be between like $30 and $40 million a year. And that might be year one, or that might be an aggregate of the 5-year years. Whatever it is, this is new money, great, and it's a big increase for NXT and a home on a network that you don't need cable to see. So there's a much larger potential audience. People are saying USA is a stronger network. Truth is, it's not. If you take the WWE programming viewership out of USA, mm-hmm. their average viewership is pretty much identical to the CW. So it's basically doing nothing. And we learned this during the WWE third quarter earnings. It was a little bit complicated because they separated the WWE time alone and the TKO time. But both times in the third quarter, WWE made money, even though TKO as a whole didn't necessarily. I didn't read it all. WBD also had their third quarter earnings. They lost, which is good for them, only $417 million in this past quarter. So they're...
Those guys keep losing a ton of money, man.
And they're licensing everything. They license DC stuff to Netflix. They canned a movie, like a Wile E. Coyote movie that was being screened positively. $30 million movie. They just decided they didn't even want to rent it. They didn't want to lease it to anyone. They just scrapped it.
They did the same thing to the Batgirl movie. Like, they filmed the fucking thing and then they were like, nah, shit can it.
Same thing here. So they're doing all sorts of things. So, and listen, AEW Dynamite is more similar in demo and viewership now to NXT than to Raw or SmackDown. So if NXT, let's just say it's getting $35 million a year, that's sort of what Dynamite gets alone. So Dynamite gets 5 or 10% more than NXT. So let's just say Dynamite moves up to $45 million a year. And let's assume Rampage and Collision survive. I don't think they will, but they're not worth anything. They're probably not worth the $12 million that we get for Rampage. Nobody still knows what Collision is. People keep telling me they're being paid well for it, but nobody can tell me the amount. Nobody can tell me the amount whatsoever. Nope. But let's just say they each get $12 million. So $24 million plus, what I say, 45. That gets you to 49, 69. So if they got a new contract for $69 million a year for the three shows plus Battle of Belts, would anyone consider that to be a success? No, they've been talking about five-year billion-dollar contracts, needing $120 million a year, 3-4 times. No, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it from cash-strapped WBD. And by the way, my source, who has a source in WBD, who hopefully will be on this show later this month, early December, has said, and it's been reported otherwise, the WWB, their interest has gone from being annoyed to dead. They have no interest anymore, which is why I'm not ruling out WBD as a home for either NWA or possibly Raw, though I very much think it's Disney FX or Disney General, with FX being the primary destination. So that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a quagmire of nonsense. I really don't think that WBD has any interest in extending a contract to Tony Khan and AEW. And I think that they would very much entertain. I mean, the rumors on the street are that WBD is interested in Raw, like you just said. If you've got Tony Khan and his content, why would you have WWE? Like, I can see CW saying, all right, I want to make a night of wrestling. So are you okay, WWE, if we have NWA and NXT?
Sure. And Ring of Honor, they have NXT, a wrestling block. And WOW.
I think NXT is enough of a brand extension at this point from WWE for... You know how like Vince always used to like say, I'm sports entertainment. I'm not in the carny business. I'm not, you know, this wrestling shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think NXT is far from the main roster enough that they can put NXT to be back to back with the NWA or an Ohio Valley Wrestling, possibly maybe even an AEW if the deal was right. But, you know, Triple H is smart. He knows that if he gives a rub back to back to NWA, that helps out WWE because it helps eradicate AEW. A stronger NWA is better for WWE than AEW. You said earlier the move to CW is pretty much, you know, a flat change. I would disagree in the fact that I think there's younger viewers on the CW. There's a lot of cross branding there. That's shifts the demographic a lot younger than the USA demographic. Yeah, like, well, you got Law and Order.
It's also in more homes.
Correct. There's more homes, more reach, younger demographic. So I think that's the plus. Even if they take less money from USA, the hope is, if they take less money up front from CW, the hope is that by year five, they've gained new viewers that will eventually transition to main roster viewers once the people now, like the Tiffany Strattons, the Braun Breakers, the Mellows, by year two, year three, they move up, the fans are moving along with them. So I think that's the bet on the investment. We'll see if it's a smart move, but
it's extremely interesting.
If you had a shot, Tony Khan, you're an idiot. If the rumor is true about ROH, you could have had that time slot. You could have blocked WWE from taking it.
Possibly.
And it's not a direct competition. To your point about the tag teams, how he books the tag teams. He never wants to bury his own tag teams because he's burying his own brand. I think if the rumors are true, he buried the contract, the offer, because he knew if I put ROH in the CW time slot, it has a possibility of reaching more people than AEW Dynamite. And I can't have that.
I don't think he's that.
AEW is my baby, not the baby I bought. Not the adopted baby.
I don't think he's that smart. I think it's what you said originally, is that he actually believes if he keeps sucking Warner Brothers' dick and telling them how committed he is and that they're going to reciprocate. That's not the real world. That's not how things work. No, they will not. They just know that you're a sucker. anyways, some other business quick hits. I mean, firstly, you know, Crown Jewel, it yields, WWE gets paid about between 50 and 55 million each show, and it's complete profit. And yes, they did commercials for Saudi Air and all sorts of stuff like that. So the SAG-AFTRA strike is over. So if anybody was worried about, oh, John Cena, he shouldn't have gone out like that, you know, whether he knew or not, reasonable minds can differ. I'm pretty sure that the union organizers tell them when things are pretty close to wrapping up. Whatever it was, he went out the right way.
Or the agents.
Elimination Chamber has already sold 45,000 tickets after 2 days. That's the show in Perth, Australia. Vince McMahon has made it known that he would sell about one-third of his shares. He sold 8.4 million shares.
I told you this was happening.
He got about $715 million.
That's right. And guess what? He's going to buy the shit back, Jeff. No, you heard it here first. That shit, he probably sold it. Right now, at closing, it was selling at about, what is it, $80, $85 a share, I think.
No, it was down, but that's because there's too much supply. Anyway.
Right. Vince probably sold this at $90 to $95 a share.
Yes.
And on top of that, Vince is going to buy back his shares and then some.
No, he didn't sell them he sold it at whatever it was today, because you have to announce.
It's not the market value. He sets the price because this is an insider deal, so he can do that.
No, that's the exact opposite.
So he sells it.
You're talking nonsense, it at 90, and we're on a clock.
He sells it at $105. Keep arguing with me, Jeff. The number's going to keep going higher. Jeff, he sold it at $110, and now watch when this TKO stock goes down to $55, he's going to buy a ton of it back and be Ari Emanuel's boss. Guess who's back in business?
Well, that's not the way the stock market works. Please ignore everything Steve said. It's not important. a lot of people are making a big deal of this, and it really isn't that big deal, but it's not that big a deal. They made a point in the risks to name that Vince McMahon's very existence on the board of directors is a risk and a liability risk to the company. And it was also known that they could not force him out for 2 years from the time he signed the contract. So that's probably why Vince is selling all of his stock. He'll probably do it every 6 months and then he'll quit right before they can actually fire him.
This is so rude. This is so rude the way that they're treating Vince. He brought money to the table and now they're going to edge him out. This is so rude. Nah. I stand with you, Pops. Just know that.
In the new section, we have gossip, which this, what we just said, sort of fits into that. Carmella and Corey Graves had their baby, DPP, so good for them. MJF is dating Alicia Toot. Who's Alicia Toot? She was the interview woman for MLW. She's not anymore. More importantly, she was MJF's buddy, Richard Holiday's girlfriend. So MJF really is the devil. He broke off his engagement or had his engagement broke off and stole one of his best friend's girl who, you know, after his best friend just recovered from Hodgkin's disease. So great. Maybe he is the devil after all. Conan says that AAA will never book Tessa Blanchard again because she really left a bad taste with the boys and she was only there because of Daga and she's not with Daga anymore. So fuck her. And Calvin Tankman with MLW apparently is not with MLW. He's been a free agent for a while. And apparently Aries and Aramis asked for their releases from MLW publicly. And then they found out they had been released by MLW. MLW told AAA, but AAA never told Aramis and Aramis, which I guess is a little bit funny, but it begs the question, how or why is that AAA's job to tell wrestlers that a different promotion release them? So MLW continues to be in the mud, and I continue to wonder who's there. Meanwhile, more importantly, I mean, you know that Lance Anoa'i and Juicy Fatu were released last week. We talked about that. But Alexander Hammerstone has been publicly asking for his release. It has been denied. He went public with it. He was polite and cordial, but he basically says the communication has been sparse. He hasn't been booked for the last several shows. He hasn't been booked for any future shows. He hasn't heard from them. It's been the best five years of his life, but he wants his release. He wants to test the market. So Alexander Hammerstone did a video. You can see it if you want. But, you know, apparently his future with MLW is very much in doubt, as is the future with MLW, period. I'm sure the talent, what's left, isn't happy with Billy Corgan. If you go on their roster page, it looks like they have a large roster, but it's a lie because what they're putting out there is who's on MLW, but they're also putting on everyone who they can use from CMLL and New Japan Pro Wrestling because they have that triumvirate cooperation deal. So those are not all MLW people. It's also come out the talent is frustrated with Billy Corgan. No shit. EC3. And said he's doing great. Of course he is. Just like Matt Hardy says, everything is great in AEW. The movie, The Iron Claw, an A24 production about the Von Erichs, just came out. That's coming out to good reviews. So hopefully it does well. I have my doubts, but hopefully it does. In other news that was interesting gossip, Sean Rassap apparently has been banned from the Backlash. He's been banned from being at WWE Media Scrum, their press conferences, because apparently either he or Fightful people, but mostly him, were causing trouble, causing disruption. And so Sean Ross Sapp banned. Another Fightful story is they reported that WWE made no offer to Jay White. So all of that stuff that we told you was bullshit. There was no bidding war. There was no interest. They never made an offer to Jay White, just like there's probably no interest in Willis Ospreay, despite what the media and Dave Meltzer will have you believe. Diamond Mine and Ivy Nile have been elevated to the main roster, so that's cool for them. Jim Ross, he's taking a break from AEW. Some people say it's because of his health. Some people say it's because he hates it there. Some people say it's a combination, that the fact that he hates it there so much is adverse to his health. I don't know. Pick your side, whatever. But JR is taking some time off. Don't know how long that's going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if it turned into permanent. As you might have, if you've been paying attention to wrestling social media, as well as people turning on Court Bauer and on Billy Corgan, it seems like people, including the media, slowly turning on Tony Khan. In fact, Brandon Thurston even did an expose publicly stating, which he, to his credit, he said before, but he didn't quite do it as loudly as he did. He did an actual report where he's sure that AEW is not profitable and that they would need a contract renewal of over $100 million a year to get profitable. And I suspect that also includes with a bunch of releases, non-renewals, and hiding some money over the ring under the Ring of Honor banner. Anyway, so people are turning on Tony Khan, the media, fans. The Ric Flair thing seemed to break a lot of people's brains. And there's still a lot of denial, but backtracking on whether CM Punk is going to WWE. I am telling you right now, I believe that it's 98% to 2% that he will be at Survivor Series. And those are the items that I have. Other than that, Fallon Henley also has a concussion. I have the ratings, but I don't want to. And I'm going fast, folks. I'm speaking because Steve has to go. It's not because I'm just steamrolling here. But Steve, do you have anything else that you want to bring up before I do the ratings and we sign off?
I feel real bad for JR. JR is a Hall of Fame announcer, and the fact that AEW has treated him in such a horrible fashion goes to show you that this failed organization, AEW, is just nothing but complete trash. Trash people at the top, and the way that they've treated him and handled him is just a disgrace.
So, folks, all right, so ratings. Impact, November 2nd, 86,000. New Japan Pro Wrestling, same date, 42,000. SmackDown a week ago Friday was 2,119,000, which was up about 1 million from FS1. Notable, it's a go-home show. Notable, it was taped the week before, so probably a lot of spoilers. Rampage, down 31,000 to 298,000. Its second lowest rating in its regular time slot ever, and the demo was like 0.11 or something, which they're saying is good, but believe me, 0.11 isn't good, and 298,000 is good. Not to be undone, but to be undone a little bit or outdone. Collision, I would say proportionally did worse. It went down over 100,000, had a demo of 0.09, and last Saturday night did 366,000. Was that the Dream Match night, the MJF versus Omega night?
No, I think they cracked 400 for that one.
So it wasn't that. All right. Anyway, 366,000. People are blaming Crown Jewel for that. Crown Jewel ended like at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or something. So, you know, shut up. Raw.
They're blaming the Crown Jewel rerun.
Raw, I guess, without being confronting two major league sports on night, went up 131,000 to 1.522 million, which is sort of where it's been around when it's against Monday Night Football this year. Still not great, but better. NXT did a very surprising 794,000, an increase of 130,000. Why is that surprising? Because it wasn't a special event night. It was not a Becky Lynch is going to be a night. It wasn't a Seth Rollins is a night. They had the Alpha Academy and Xia Li made an appearance, you know, and things like that. Baron Corbin's still there, but nothing special. So it looks like NXT is trending up. And their demo, by the way, for those who care about it, was like 0.26 or 0.27. Very, you know, sort of similar.
What did I tell you at the beginning of the year? NXT was going to beat AEW.
Well, it did twice. They let me down this week. It was so close. If it wasn't for that stupid Heritage Cup match, I'm pretty sure they would have beaten it. But Dynamite went down 28,000 down to 804,000. The thing that you folks need to worry about Dynamite is if you've been listening to the show a long time, sometimes I tell you what the high is and sometimes I tell you what the low is. And the reason I do that is not just to say they lose interest over the nights and you know, certain people aren't draws and the main events aren't doing so well, but also because the high of 2 years ago or a year ago or the low of a year and a half ago is like the high now. And the high, you know, was a little bit over 900, but their lows for the second week in a row fell into the 600s. So, you know, so not so good. Anyway, MLW, the last 3 weeks, and I will freely admit I pulled these numbers Wednesday. We originally were going to record Wednesday. Today is Friday, the 10th. I didn't bother to get updated numbers, but they're small, and so it really doesn't matter. So 3 weeks ago, MLW, 22,000. 2 weeks ago, 36,000. And from 1 week ago, 22,000. There was a new episode that aired last night. I didn't even bother to look. NWA from 3 weeks ago, up to 21,000. From 2 weeks ago, which was, by the way, free matches from Samhain, or sort of like a highlight show, only up to 19,000. Episode one of the new season, the season premiere, the most recent show, was at 54,000 as of Wednesday. So there you have it. That's it. That's all the ratings that I got. The wrestling media got almost everything wrong, and I'm telling you, they're getting everything wrong that at the very best AW can hope for is that WBD exercises its option for a year and that they do much better next year and reconsider. It's just as likely that there'll be non-renewal, because that's what we like to say now, and that AEW will not find a home, period, and or Tony Khan will pull a Robert Rodriguez, buy a station, rename it, and put all of his stuff on there.
Oh my God, imagine that. Like, he's got that type of money. Like, that's the other thing, is if you believe Tony Khan, he's got so much money to say no to the NW, not the CW. He's got enough money to say no to the CW for ROH. That's incredible.
He is a all right, stupid, Jeff, stupid man.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, just a lot of just nonsensical moves, idiotic timing, just really bad. Really bad. And the booking's no better. Guys, this has been episode 133, has it? Yes, 133. Thank you for listening and thank you for tuning in. I want to shout out our other co-host, Ron Jackson. He's does a great job. Bad Guy Jack, fantastic job week after week. Hopefully we can get the whole band together either next week or the next episode after that, because we're all kind of meeting together in person, and it'd be like we're gonna have a post chat party.
Wow,
look at that!
That'd be so much fun.
Post meetup party would be fun.
We'll let you all know. We'll figure something out, but it's gonna be dope.
It's gonna be dope. We might even have a dope on the air with us. We're gonna invite Tony Khan to be with us. He'll be there. Hey guys, what's going on? Watch Dynamite.
That's not Tony Khan. Is this? He does like this. He's sort of like Bernie Sanders without affect. Wait, like Bernie
Sanders. I need to figure out how to do this AI voice. Like, I see like AI voiceovers of Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Well,
the whole point of AI is that you don't do it; the AI does it.
I know, but I need to manipulate the AI to have Tony Khan say what I want him to say.
Okay. You try and manipulate the AI, but just know the lessons that we've learned from all of history is that the AI manipulates you. After all, it's manipulate. It's not computer-ipulate.
Oh, really? Well, what about copulate?
That's cops having sex.
Oh, well, there we go. All right, guys. That's been the episode. Thanks for tuning in. And any final words, Jeff?
You can follow me at IcarusFellMD, and please check out my shows, Garden of Doom. And if you check out Garden of Doom, you also get Garden Views. So subscribe, like, give reviews. And other than that, make sure you stay evil, my friends.
That's right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night. Have a great week.